World Cup. Perez, Wilto makes a run ahead of it. Bergkamp suddenly changed pace through the centre. It's Bergkamp! That's magnificent! The move, and then this, which left Dabby's ass totally stranded.
Welcome to a Bergkamp Wonderland, an Arsenal podcast. I'm Deacon, I'm here with Danny, and we've just got through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, mate. Apparently, it's three more games until we win the Champions League, Danny. We'll just win three more, and it's fine, right?
Five more.
You know me with numbers. Five more games.
Bloody more numbers.
Come on, let's be honest. None of us are really thinking straight right now. I was the stress of extra time, the stress of penalties. I can't even remember the last time we were really in that sort of situation to that stressful level. And then to win it with the way that we did, you know, the convincing penalties that every Arsenal player took, the confidence that was exuding them all, and then Reyes stepping up and saving two penalties was absolutely phenomenal. I'm absolutely lost for words. I'm buzzing. I'm so happy that everybody's joining us so late on a Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
Happy Wednesday. Yes, that's very true. In England, it's just gone past 11 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. Everyone's got work tomorrow, but no one really cares. We're just focusing on it today. Danny, how was that?
That was, considering at times it was, we're going to lose. We're going to win. Oh, we're going to lose. Are we going to win? Oh, now I'm not sure. Oh, we're going to win. Oh, no. No, we're not going to win. Oh, and then it's just that roller coaster of emotions for the entire 3 hours that it felt like that show, that game went on for. I got through a whole can of Monster, half a litre of water, another half can of Monster, and I'm on another can of Pepsi Max, people, if anybody wanted to know. And then I've made more notes for this game than any game I think I ever have done. And we don't need any of them, do we? We just need to talk about, well, what are we going to talk about?
Well, we'll talk about the goal. We'll talk about just the overall how we were playing. And then we're going to go straight into the penalties and we'll just talk about it. But more than anything, guys, we want to talk to all of you guys. We want to go through all of your comments because we know that a lot of you are going to want to talk about what's happened tonight. So we'll try and go through as much of it there as possible.
But we're not going to leave them all out, are we?
We're not going
to. I've got to go to bed tomorrow.
Yes. I'm going to try and go through the comments as quickly as I can, guys. Okay. Please be kind to us. But I'm going to try and go through as many comments as I possibly can. Should we jump in, Danny, and just say hello to a few people first and foremost? What we got here? We've got Renry. Good evening. I'm here again. We might score now. I think this was just before Sai saying the shit refereeing and taking it to a new level. He was an interesting referee, that referee. I'm not sure.
Oh, he was the referee, was he? Oh, I thought he was a bin man because fuck, he was just doing any refereeing, did he?
Yeah, he was just there, just being part of it. I don't know if he was smirking at times, for fuck's sake. Absolutely nuts. I was shitting myself when it comes to the penalty situation. However, I said to Danny last week when we were playing Brentford, I was wearing my Arsenal shirt on the first half of the game, right? Second half of the game, I put my lucky Hayward's Heath shirt on and we ended up winning the game. And Danny was like, that's nonsense. I said, well, let's see how nonsense it is if we win the game. We ended up winning the game. I put this Hayward's Heath shirt on at penalties. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I have stopped putting the scores in on the JPEG for the front of YouTube and the tweets. I've stopped doing that now, so the game is over. So that was about 3 minutes of me mucking around trying to get it done. So, I'm kind of playing the game. Yes. Not that I overbelieve it.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. We've got Andy, all the numbers. Fuck cheating, time wasting, Porto. I said at halftime, Danny, I don't know about how you felt about it, but I said at halftime, Porto, we're going to try and do as much shithousery and time wasting as possible to be able to stretch the second half and take it to extra time at pens because they knew that was probably going to be their best opportunity to get anything out of the game.
Well, you saw after the third minute, they were taking their time taking a throw in and you thought, here we go. They've started already. They've got their blankets down on the deck chairs. And you can see the way this game is going to continue. But I mean, to be fair to them, it was an interesting game for it, especially the second half was really good. But yeah, it was, I think after But as soon as the second half of extra time began, you thought, nah, this is going to end up going to penalties. Oh, I hate penalties.
No, so nerve-wracking. Not a fan of penalties, but I think Phil Macca words it perfectly here for us. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Hate pens when it's us, but now I love them. I was Googling before the pens. I was like, how many penalties has Raya saved in his career?
Well, Andy McCoist was doing the commentary on the one I was listening to. And he went, do you think that Ramsdale should come on? He said, yeah, I think Ramsdale should come on. I think he's the better goalkeeper at saving penalties. Although I've never seen Raya or Ramsdale taking penalties. So he says that. And I thought, that sums the night up. He's given advice on goalkeeper saving pens. He's never seen either of them save a pen. To save a pen.
That's it. Lone Star Londoner, Mr. Waffles. Good evening, Nanu Nanu. Kate Johnston, yes, come on. Everyone's really happy. Anthony, I'm not going to try Felician? Yeah?
Felicione,
we'll go with that. Always listen to the podcast. I had to check out live after that one. Wow, yes, we are live. MJL, yes, brilliant saves from Raya. Huge.
That's Michael in Sweden.
What's going on? Huge saves from Raya. Huge saves. Stefan, good evening. 14 years. Last 16 losses. This feels great. It does. Absolutely buzzing with it. We're through to the
last time we were in the quarterfinals was in 2009-10, and then we drew and lost the two quarterfinals.
Who did we place? Get against?
I haven't got. I should go. It's probably going to be either Bayern Munich or Barcelona. It's going to be Barcelona. What I'm guessing. I'll have a look.
Londoner, Rare, exceptional in the shootout. I thought he was absolutely incredible because he got his hands on one of the other penalties as well. He played so well.
He got flappy fingers to it. Wonderfully held.
Even Ali McCoist was like, he had no right to get fingers on that. The second one that went in. Si, Raya did what most recent Arsenal keepers had hard time doing, saving penalty. Oh, exactly.
We've got to look through the predictions to see if any of you lightweights managed to get it right.
Do you want to do that now?
It was Barcelona, and we drew 2-2 at Arsenal and lost 4-1 at their place.
I knew it was Barcelona. Bullshit. So it was Barcelona.
Let me know when you want to do it, and I'll get it up and get it ready to go.
Get it up and get it ready. I'll do a few more comments. Mr. Waffles, Ramsdale would save all of them. Well, I don't really care anymore at this point. I'm just happy that we're through. Lone Star Londoner, Porto played very well. They did play very well, but there's a lot of shithousery, I think that's. But then that comes from a player like Pepe, who, if I'm honest, played really well tonight for a 41-year-old. I thought he was exceptional.
He's had a birthday since the last game. He was he wasn't even out of breath.
Yeah. Incredible
again, kicking and punching, shoving and elbowing.
Yeah, well, that's what.
How much does that take? I mean, Big Daddy went on till he was in his 50s, I should think.
This is it. Lone Star London, a good experience for the last 8. Phil Macca has done himself again. I think that's probably to do with the fact that we've running so late.
I sorted that out before I got out, and my medication isn't making me ill anymore. Good news.
We're all talking about Daddy's issues here. John Rogers, let's go. Absolutely buzzing. Phil Macca, hey, ladies. Canterbury Gooner, evening. Good evening. Good evening, Stefan. Soak it in, lads. This was amazing. Mr. Waffles, I find it delightfully ironic that he saved Galeno for the win. That's very true. Galeno being the man who scored in the final moments in the last leg to put them 1-0. And Galeno is also a guy that's 6 goals and 6 appearances in his last few games. So it was a man on form, but Raya is the man to stop him, and he does just that. So
justice was served.
Exactly. Before we see any more comments, Danny, do you want to come up and see what the predictions were? And then we'll talk about the goal and a few other things in the game.
If you take that off the screen, I have got it in a window. Listeners' predictions. There's 3 million of you watching at the moment. So listen to these. It's only 40 seconds long. We'll be straight back after this. So listen well. The predictions for Arsenal v Porto from last night's show. Tiger and Gooner. 3-1. Lone Star Londoner, 2-1 after extra time. Boy 10, 0-0. Sai, 5-0 Porto.
And they can hear us.
Demsek, 2-0. LF, 4-0. BX, 2-0. Paul C, 4-1. Canterbury Gooner, 1-0, then penalties. Phil Macca, 4-0. Mike Hertz, 3-0. Graham Denton, 3-0. Stan, what are you going for?
2-1 Arsenal win.
I'm going to go 4-1 Arsenal win. And they
So no one got it right.
I don't think anyone got that right, did they?
No, nobody got that right. Good stuff, guys. Oh, did Si get it spot on, apparently?
Did he?
To be fair, 1-0? Did anybody say 1-0? I don't remember hearing anybody say
you 1-0. Carry on. I'm going to go and have a listen to it again. It might be one of the early ones.
Fair. What we got here, Kate Johnston. Oh my God, I'm buzzing. Bunch of cheating bastards, but we knew that was going to be the case, guys. We definitely knew that was going to be the case, especially when you got Pepe in the side and in all the numbers. I feared the worst when Eddie came on, as did I, but, you know, he got the job done. There was a lovely little passage of play between Ødegaard and Saka and him in the final moments of the game. It was unlucky for Saka to not be able to get a shot better off. BX Gunner, good evening. Has anyone seen my pants? I seem to have lost my pants.
Breaking news. It was Canterbury Gooner, 1-0 then pens, but didn't say we'd win on pens, so it's no bueno.
Oh, really? Oh, I think that's pretty decent. Love Johansson. Thank you for streaming. I'm far too stressed to sleep right now. Oh, my God. Phenomenal. Ødegaard's game is one of the best I've seen. Guys, we signed him for £35 million.
It was almost like he was wound up. He was electric. It's like a modern electric vehicle. Every single ball, he ran at the goalkeeper to track them down and the defenders. No one had more than 2 seconds on the ball while trying to bring it out of defence without having him on him. And three or four times, he messed up their plans and they fumbled it. And it just did not stop the entire game. And that's kind of what I expected to see from Saka. Saka just really, what, two games in a row in the Champions League, Saka has really, really been off it. A couple of moments, but when he is our best player along with Ødegaard, and Ødegaard puts that kind of performance in, I felt a little bit disappointed about Saka. Did you?
Yeah. H. Yes, H is there. Let's go. Good evening, H. Brazil. You know, Saka, he is, I think we're probably starting to see moments of lagging. You know, he's not invincible. I know we call him the T-1000, but he's not invincible. Who knows, this break that we now have, because the game that was supposed to play this weekend against Chelsea has been postponed due to the fact that Chelsea have other obligations in the FA Cup. Unfortunately, we're no longer in that. But I tell you what, I'd prefer to be in the Champions League, which we very much are. And we're now in the quarterfinals, and I'm very interested to see who we get.
Hell of a kick in. I mean, at one point in the first half, they tag teamed him. It was like in 86 WrestleMania. Two of them, that one got clothesline the top half, the other one clothesline the bottom half, spun him around, and the ref went, hey, off we go then.
They're just playing. They're play fighting. Don't worry about it. But yeah, you know, I think this break is actually probably going to be coming in at the perfect time. We've had a couple of really tough games here. Brentford in the league, which we win 2-1 in the final moments of the game, I think 86th minute for Havertz. And then we get this really, really stressful game against Porto in the Champions League. The first time that we've got into the quarterfinals since 2009, 2010. So it's been a stressful couple of games. We've now got a few weeks break that we can really focus and hone everything back in so we can play Man City at the Empty Had on the 31st of March. I'll do a few more comments and then we'll quickly go over a few of the moments of the game, including the goal that Ødegaard created. Phil Macker, what a result. Now, no football till we go to Man City on the 31st, exactly. Michael, is that correct, Danny? That's Michael?
Yeah, Michael in Sweden.
Let's not pretend that I'll be able to sleep after that game. I completely agree, and that's the reason why we're doing this podcast right now. I'm still crying. I had to be really calm and collected, guys, because I've got my cat sleeping on my desk right here, and I don't want to bother her. You know how it is with cats, but Danny would probably say otherwise. And all the numbers, Rice played fantastically, as well as Ødegaard. I think most of the team just played out of their skin. They really wanted it, but Porto really came at us. I didn't expect that type of performance from Porto, Danny. Did you expect them to bring the game to us? Because I thought they might be doing a low block.
Well, they are on a bit of form at the moment. I went through their form last night with Stan. They've got the same form. They played the same number of games this season as we have. They've won two more games than we have this season. Yep. They're scoring goals. They're defending well. They've got all their players there. And I thought we'd turn them over, but they played probably better than they did in their place. They were really up for the game. And yeah, I think sometimes when the lulls in the crowd were the crowd lulled a little bit, they seemed to play better, which is why Arteta kept telling them, revving the crowd up. And then Ødegaard did it a couple of times. But I think the crowd could have got a lot more involved, should have been shouting. That's it with away games in Europe. They do it continuously. They'll be doing it 4 hours before the game kicks off. The crowd really, I mean, it's our first season back, so we've got a load of new fans, but the fans really need to be shouting and screaming, waving and doing everything for the entire 3.5 hours of the game. I mean, it's an effort, but like they say, we are the 12th man.
That's it. That's it. Arteta asked after the Brentford game, he asked the Arsenal fans to bring it for tonight's game against Porto. And I thought in the first half, we definitely did do that with regards to the fans. But after that, the fans just faded away into nothingness. And all I heard was the Porto fans. So that's extremely disappointing. So I'm hoping that the fans return for our next home game, which I'm not entirely sure what it is. But I've always got faith in the away fans. They're the guys that have the efforts to make the trips to the away venue. So, you know, we'll just move on from there. Phil Macca, I thought Porto would knut their way to a win. Yeah, especially with the referee. Boitendio, good evening. Porto were good. They were good. Stefan, I'm not ashamed to say that I got emotional. There's nothing wrong about getting emotional. Football is what this is what football brings. Football brings emotion, guys. It's a fantastic form of escapism. It brings us all together so we can all celebrate this wonderful moment at 20 past 11 on a Tuesday night. Great times, guys. Great times. And we're all here together celebrating. So that's fantastic. So I love it, Stefan. More of it. More of it. Boitendio, very tactical game. It was exactly that. Canterbury Gunner, massive credit to Porto tonight. They got their tactics spot on. Never let us get any proper control of the game, but we held on to our nerves in the end. Che Boy 72, good evening. Oi, oi, what a game. Not too shabby, if I say so myself. Phil Macca, was Danny wearing his lucky Arsenal G-string tonight? Mr. Waffles, Danny doesn't wear underwear. Fantastic. This is great where this conversation is going, because we've got Phil Macca responding here with, oh dear, Mr. Waffles. Oh, did you? Well done. Congratulations.
I don't know how long. I just turned my heater on and I didn't want to disturb you while you were talking. So to my Amazon. I said I don't own a single piece of underwear because I'm a grown man. Grown-ass man from the 70s.
Okay.
You must have thought I was just being quiet.
I was too busy reading comments. Phil Mac is completely correct with that sentiment then, I feel. Che Boy, felt like a proper European tie, especially from the second half on. Been a long time. It has. And we're back in it, boys. We're back in the quarterfinals.
It's rock and roll time.
Let's freaking go. Boy, Tendio. I don't think they wasted that much time. No, I there was a few moments, but I thought there was a hell of a lot of shithousery. There was a lot of leaving a foot in here and a leg in here.
But as soon as they realised the referee was going to let them away of anything, they went, hey, yeah. It's back on.
There was a moment where the Porto number 8 guy went into the back of Havertz and just put his knee into his lower back.
Pulled his shirt at the same time.
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely crazy.
What the fuck is that?
Exactly. Carl Beneath the Rise. Good evening. They nearly gave me a fucking heart attack. Come on, you guys. That's exactly right. We're all the same there.
If anybody is new here, you can get YouTube as a swear filter. I mean, no racist stuff because that's wrong. But if you can get around the swear filter by changing the letters, you do it and we'll read it out. There is no rules in here apart from one that is just generally wrong. You can circumvent the rules and enjoy yourself doing it. You can call anyone a C word and anything, not people in the chat, other players, other teams. Go mad.
That's it. That's it. Boy, Tendio, Raya saved one penalty earlier on in the season. Or was that Ramsdale? I forget, Danny. I don't know if it was Ramsdale or Raya that saved a penalty at some point.
I'm not sure. And the only ones I remember them talking about was the Charity Shield, and that was Ramsdale in goal.
Okay. Anthony, good enough. That's what I'm talking about. And at all the numbers, Ali McCoist is a bell end of the highest order. He's not too bad, considering like most of them. He is a bit simple. You've got to take that into consideration, guys. He's a simple man. We're doing a simple thing and saying simple stuff. So let's not worry too much about it. Let's just celebrate the moment. Formerly Noza, good evening. Ahoy, everyone. Zeus Cannon on Twitter. All right, lads. There's some people on Twitter.
Oh, that's a nice name.
I like that, Zeus Cannon. And we've got Gunnosaurus there wearing a little oversized Santa's hat.
Did you know, a little stat for you here, that the post-game show against Brentford, we actually had 10 people subscribe during that podcast, which is the most number of subscribers in any one show for 7 years. Normally we get one or two or someone unsubscribes. You've got 10 in one post-game show.
Also, well, Danny, it was a post-game show that's reached over 1,000 views.
That's the first time in about 3 years.
So thank you to everybody that's been jumping into the podcast Wonderful. Recently. It is super appreciated. And as you can see, I'm an extremely gobby, passionate person, as someone would say. John Rogers, guys, reading chat is not interesting. I say that as the chat. I've got to say hello to everyone, John.
He's moaning about his own comments.
I've got to bring everyone in on this. We're all riding a massive high right now. I'm not going to take anything away from anybody, not say the comments. So, John, just hold on. Che boy, Rhea has been a fan, has to be a fan favorite now. He's been a fan favorite for me since the very beginning. Avon, I've just calmed down. Evening, by the way. Good evening, Avon. Hello.
Avon.
King Ali, totally buzzing, as am I. Good evening to you. Stefan, Rhea has massive hands. Apparently, he does have massive hands, but we definitely saw that this evening with the saves. Canterbury Guna, yep, blame the ref and opposition every time things don't go our way. Did we blame the opposition or the referee? I thought we're not complaining, we're just explaining.
Oh, no, the referee didn't give a fuck about either side. I mean,
no. I thought he was wandering around constantly. I think he was just thinking he got some sort of Champions League ticket on the pitch.
This is how we all feel tonight. Oh, you got the comment.
Oh, sorry, apologies. There we go.
I made that. As Arsenal fans, we got all the feels.
We do have all the feels. It's very, very true.
And I've also found a fat Ozil.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Look at the state of that. Yeah. JC Johnson, Eddie coming on. He was looking good. Almost helped them score. He did. It wasn't too bad from him. Avon, I'd want one. Dortmund, Bayern or PSG. Yeah, guys, put into the chat who you would like to see in the quarterfinals. Formerly Noza, games like tonight just emphasize our need for a proper striker. That is completely correct. Pepe is a Superman. That is correct also. Avon, it's amazing what EPO can do for you.
Oh, lovely. That's one for the doctors out there.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what it is?
No.
It's a drug that Man City are meant to be on. This is why their players never get injured.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I've not heard about this.
Yes.
I need to look into this after the game then. Boy 10 Dio, Pepe loves Odegaard, by the way. He can't stop smiling when he's around him. He clearly saw something in him at Madrid. Alternatively, he's been proven wrong on the talent he thought he didn't have. You can see when they were doing the initial greetings and stuff like that. Yeah, he definitely saw like a warm embrace from the two. Che boy, Benny Blanco, unsung hero tonight. I think he's the unsung hero most nights, Danny, isn't he? Benny Blanco.
He was magnificent,
incredible.
As was Rice.
Yes.
And when Saliba and Gabriel had a couple of wobbles, and they did every now and then, those two stepped in. Jorginho was great for the part that he played. And it's a shame that he didn't start the first game, because I don't think we'd have been 1-0 down by then if he'd have played the whole of the first game, because he would have been in that kind of shutting down area where the bloke scored from, wide on the right-ish.
I agree. So let's quickly go over the game then. Avon, best goalie at the club. Well, I've said that from the very beginning. So let's go over the game then. What have I got here? Where have I got? Yes. So everyone was the same in regards to lineup. Still no Martinelli on the injury. I'm probably thinking that they're not going to be rushing that back anytime soon. No. He'll most likely be available for the City game. Trossard keeps his spot, but Reyes back in goal after the Brentford game. So it was nice to see him return. And we also, I don't know about you, Danny, but there was no nervousness. I didn't feel any nervousness this time, even though the game was quite a stressful game overall. But there was no nervous jitters in the first 10-15 minutes. And you saw that as well with the solidity that Gabriel and Saliba bring at the back. I thought that was returned once again due to Rhea being back in goal. What did you think of it all?
An interesting point from Brighton manager Zebri. He said the away game for Brighton, where they lost 4-0 at Roma, he said it is a big step for players to start playing in Europe for the first time, and an away game like that. Although they played a few other games, you play away in Italy, and that is a whole new experience. And I think we found that at times playing in the away games have been a little bit overawing. No, that's not the word. Give us the willies. That'll do. That's the word that I'll take. That it must be a little bit. Oh, what's going on? And having that at Porto definitely happened, but we're at home. We're settled. We're on a good run of form, full squad full of players, and then everything seemed to be going well. I think the entire night there was no disasters all night, but yeah, you've got to start the game the way you hope to continue, and I think we did that. We were good. We were solid at the back, good attacking, nice possession. But then that changed after a little while. They, yeah, lots of to-ing and fro-ing with us, with the possession, with the attacking. Good bits of defending, shitty fouls on both sides.
Yeah.
You get everything in the game.
Porto had a lot of possession, Danny, in the opening 20 minutes, half an hour. I said even at the 28-minute mark, I said Arsenal not having the game that they thought that would be Porto would be bringing this evening. I don't know about anybody in the chat, but I don't think anybody predicted this sort of performance from Porto. There was even a moment as well where there was a free kick. I think it was probably in the second. No, it was in the first half, actually, where... You know, the Arsenal players, they kind of stay offside and then they come onside just before the ball is played. The Porto players
didn't move.
But the Porto, yeah, no, but the Porto players, when the Arsenal players came back in line, the Porto players stepped away.
Yeah.
So the moment the free kick was taken, it was offside. And I was
George Graham stood up in the stadium and went, "Bray, bravo! Well done, lads!"
That's it.
Yeah. Tony Adams saluted the telly.
It's a really risky technique. But it worked for them. So there was lots of moments like this where we're like, I wasn't expecting this performance from Porto. So it was a frustrating first half, that was for sure. Yeah, 40 minutes, Danny. Should we just jump straight into 40 minutes?
Yeah.
So we got Ødegaard, who is just simply class, absolutely class. Probably one of the best creators on the planet right now. Unbelievable stuff from him. It wasn't only the pass. And the timing of the pass and the weight of the pass, but it was also the very moment passages at play that were just before that when he released it, where he was able to manipulate the ball around a few defenders and then lay the pass off beautifully to Trossard, who is easily probably one of the most clinical players at the club right now. He is definitely the guy that if a ball is played and it drops just outside the box or whatever, you want Trossard to be on the end of it to be able to maybe finesse it into the back of the net. And that's exactly what he did tonight. Ødegaard with a fantastic bit of footwork, an incredible assist, and Trossard to put it into the back of the net. It does beg question, though, you know, with regards to Martinelli. When Martinelli returns, does Martinelli get his spot back? Or does Trossard rightly keep his spot? Danny?
Trossard should keep it because Martinelli is one of our favourite players, but he doesn't always perform. He always performs. He doesn't always give results, be it assists, pre-assists or goals. He is quite low down on the numbers this season. If I go and have a look, I've got the stats up in the Champions League for Martinelli. Why do these bloody things have to keep reloading? Where is he, the little Brazilian wonder? 7 games, 1 goal. That's it for Martinelli in the Champions League. That isn't enough. Is it that one? No, that's Jorginho. They're both Brazilian, Italian. Here we go. Here he is. 4 games, 2 goals, 1 assist. Well, actually, that's not too bad. But for the entire season, I think it's been not what we'd expect from him. He's still a great player. I love watching him play. He's one of my favourite players. But I want more goals. I want more assists. At the moment, it just tends to be a lot of promise, but not a lot of end result. I'm just looking here for, where is it? Martinelli, he has played 32 games this season. And why have they separated on Wikipedia and got the goals on another bloody chart, you morons? He has got 6 goals all season in the Premier League, and he's got 2 in the Champions League. From what did I say, 32 games?
No, sure.
7 in the league and 3 in the Champions League.
But he's definitely been a guy that's come on and shored a lot of games up, Danny. He's kind of been that guy. We weren't predicting him to be that guy, but he's definitely become that guy. And you've got to remember, guys, he's backup to Martinelli. So, for a guy that plays backup to Martinelli due to injuries or whatever, it's not a bad turnaround, as well as the financials as well. We didn't break the bank. It wasn't like we signed Mudryk and it's a £100 million player that's sitting on the bench fighting for Martinelli's position. This is a player that we signed for £20-25 million, and he's been a fantastic little player for us, and he's doing the business, and he scored an absolutely pivotal goal for us this evening to get us into a chance for now that we can maybe have a look and have questions about semi-finals. Who knows? So as much as I completely agree with you, Danny, I think he's a player that comes in big moments, and he's definitely done that this evening.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit, but we regularly go, Martinelli's a great sub to bring on. Trossard's a great sub to bring on. They both need to stop being great subs to bring on, and they both need to be players that we say they both have to start. And at the moment, they seem to alternate between the two of them.
I agree.
It's just grateful that we have a players that can do that. I mean, most Premier League clubs would love to have Martinelli at the club. He'd be starting every single game for every season that he's there, and he'd be probably one of their best players. So, yeah, I like both of them.
I agree. Second half then. I basically just wrote, here comes Porto time, wasting and shithousery, which is exactly what happened. There was a few moments as well. Havertz made it to the byline. Unluckily, a Rice shot was blocked. I saw a lot of fouls going in and everywhere. I think a lot of us saw that as well. But there was a moment, a free kick on the 63rd minute. Kivior giving away a free kick. Luckily, it was completely wasted by Porto. How was Kivior tonight?
Yeah. A couple of times he made a run in the second half. He made a run down the left-hand side and wanted to water the ball back to him. And I'm thinking, I don't want to see runs like that against a decent team in the Champions League when they could catch us on the break and then score a goal and then the night is done. Stay back. Give the ball to somebody else. Stay back. And then he got taken off and Zinchenko came on, and Zinchenko's a clown. You all know my thoughts on Zinchenko. The bloke's a liability.
I think a lot more of us are getting this as well, and we're seeing moments of it. You know, he came on in a pivotal game tonight, Danny, and he didn't really do anything. He gave away stupid balls, and there was a moment where he gave away possession and basically had to ask Havertz to give away a free kick and get himself a yellow card, which is highly frustrating.
People might say that it's because he's just come back from injury and he's got to take time to get back into it. But I just don't like him. You think that Ramsdale doesn't concentrate? Yeah, there's something going on in Zinchenko's head, and it isn't concentrating. I don't like him. I don't like. How can someone skinny have two chins? Don't trust a man. Don't trust it. Don't like it. I've been saving the teams in our favourites at start.
Go through those, and I've just been doing what you do as well. We're just going through the comments, Danny. You can crack on. I'll go through the 66th minute, Danny.
Yep.
And we'll have a little conversation about the goal that was disallowed from Ødegaard quickly before we get to the end of the game. So 66 minutes, a ball is played through. Havertz is fighting with Pepe and the keeper. There's a little shirt pull. Annoyingly, I agree with it. It's a bit frustrating. Ødegaard, clean finish. Unfortunately, it was disallowed. And I think everybody really realized it was disallowed apart from Ødegaard. He was really embracing the moment. So I'm really happy he was one of the people. He was the first one to take one of the penalties, Danny. It's exactly what you want from your captain. Lead the line and go and do the business. Show them, you know, how do they say it? Make it hard to spot the general by working like a soldier. And that's exactly what Ødegaard did this evening, leading the line from the front in the 90 minutes and the extra time, and then taking the first penalty, Danny.
There's been times in the past where we've had captains who didn't want to take penalties. I'm sure it was Aubameyang or somebody was a captain back at the time, and they didn't want to take a penalty because they didn't feel... Oh, I can't remember who it was. I think Big Bob Holding ended up going up and taking a penalty. Someone have to remind me what it is. But Rudy's got a quote here talking about penalties. Saka, quote, "I was more than ready for this moment," in brackets, taking the penalty. "I practice for this." Well, he practices for absolutely everything, doesn't he?
He does. He's a solid professional. He's the model professional. And there was a video that went on social media. I know this is a quick tangent on Bukayo Saka. They asked a load of England players who they thought was the nicest person in regards to the England team. And everyone just basically picked Saka. And there was a moment as well where, who was it? I can't remember who it was. I think it was Madison, who is the one that broke up half the team in regards to, whether we wanted to sign Ødegaard or Madison. I was fully on Ødegaard's side. But he basically said if he had a daughter, he'd be very happy for Saka to date his daughter. So it speaks wonders about his personality and everything about him. Saka's just a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Would he be happy for Saka to date his son? That's the modern question.
Very modern, Danny. Very modern. Very modern. Not really much happened. I called out at 78 minutes time for Partey for Jorginho, Danny. But it didn't end up going that way, did it?
I said that before the show started. Yeah. I reckon I would have liked to have seen Partey come in there. He'd have sat 70, in
78 minutes. Time for party for Jorginho, question mark?
That is crazy handwriting. I write like it's a four-year-old. I don't do joined up.
I think that's pretty smart handwriting for a bloke.
Yeah, it looked nice on a birthday card.
Brilliant. There we go. That's all I want.
I print my writing like a three-year-old. It's ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
Well done to you. Shame on me.
No worries. Party Jorginho. Is that what you wanted? Because that's what I wanted.
Yes, yeah. I thought it would be nice if he could have come on. You don't need to do too much running playing just in front of the back four. He could have walked the game in there, slow things down, pinned a few passes the length of the field onto the tiptoes of on-running wingers or strikers, or apart from Eddie, because Eddie would have hit Eddie in the face and he'd have fallen over and been unconscious and had to be stretched off because he's a moron.
That's what Eddie does.
Yeah, so I think that would have been a good move,
That's not the change that was made, was it?
He doesn't trust his bench. Who did he bring on?
He brings on Jesus for Jorginho, and obviously moves.
It was
a smart move in the end. And Jesus on the 83rd minute nearly scores with his first touch, Danny. Ødegaard, fantastic again. Basically threads it through for Jesus to have a shot. Goes through the keeper's legs, could have gone anywhere. And luckily goes out for a corner. So really unlucky. But that would have been an amazing bit of Hollywood writing, eh, Danny, if Jesus scored with his first touch of the game.
It would have been a bit tidy, as the youth say.
Very tidy indeed.
Dempsey needs 19 days to recover from that. Got a couple of quotes in here that I've been saving from Rudy. Quote from Saka, "These are the games that I dream. It is brilliant. We are so happy. We can beat City. We are top of the league and in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. That gives us confidence. It gives us a lot of confidence to go to the Etihad." Cheers, Rudy, as always.
And wonderful
comments from Starboy.
Love it. Absolutely. That's really confident to come. Normally when you speak to them after the games, they come off extremely modest. I think that's one of the first times I've heard Saka come across as like, we can bloody do this now, can't we?
Like one of us who doesn't know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
But he's got the inside scoop.
He does have the inside scoop. And I'm very enthused by the comments said by the Starboy. So I'm very happy about that. The game doesn't really, there's a few moments here, you know, Saka with some efforts here, rebound wide from Ødegaard, 85 minutes. There was a few moments here, great challenges from Rice, huge ending to the game. Saka wasted a byline pass. There was a few moments here and there, but not really anything going our way. And at that moment, you know, it's coming up to extra time and I'm absolutely shitting myself at the prospect of penalties, Danny. What did you think of extra time itself and then penalties itself?
What I did was I went back and changed 91, 92, 92, 94, 96 and put 90 plus 1, 2, 2, 4, 6. I'm not making that mistake again. I've done that before.
I don't make it either.
All I put before, all that stuff before the offside flag and right lot, but then I'll just put ref is a joke and then a blatant knee in the back for, on Havertz. I'm not sure who Havertz is, but he got a knee in the back as well as Havertz.
Beautiful.
Z and A, yeah, one's above the other on the keyboard. I was nervous because when it gets down to this point, I was really, really nervous getting to the end of the game, the last two or three minutes of normal time, because anybody who scores, the goal game is over and they were attacking and the goal could have gone against us. So your heart rate is up. And then extra time, you think, okay, we've got another half an hour now. If anything goes wrong, we've got time to claw it back. And as that went on and on, second period of extra time. And then, I don't usually get nervous. My heart was beating. That might have been the can and a half of Monster that I'd had. No sugar. I'm not a monster. But yeah, I was nervous. I don't usually get nervous. But it's just these big games. It means so much, not only for Arsenal's reputation, not only for financially, but for the fans, because we've had so many years. Like, what's that? 14 years of shit. Yep. Few FA Cups, which is more than most teams will ever win.
Sure.
But the team of our stature, this is where we need to be, like Saka was saying.
It's relative, Danny. You know, you hear a lot of fans from smaller clubs go, why are you moaning? You know, you're winning stuff and you're doing stuff that you are. But it's like you've got to take into account our wages that are being spent, our infrastructure that we've put money into, the stature of the players that we're bringing in, the money that we're spending. All of this time, money and effort that we're putting in to only get so little, then I would understand. But we're putting in millions millions upon millions in weekly wages. You know, so the relativeness is different to compared to a Sheffield United fan or a QPR fan or whatever. You know, so whenever I hear fans go, oh, why are you moaning for? You're an Arsenal fan. It's like, well, because the bar is set differently for us. And that's how it works. If Man City don't win anything for a decade, there'd be massive questions being asked. It's not like, oh, well, then that's just football. That's not how that works. The bar is different for different football clubs in different levels. And we're at the highest level here at Arsenal Football Club. So we expect the highest and the highest demands from our players and the results that occur. And we are, because of it, in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. We're at the top of the table of the Premier League. The double is on, Danny. The double is on.
If you ever look at our live feed, is it highlighted, the Noza's message? On your one, is that the one that's highlighted?
Yes.
So if I start talking, then you know where we were, and then you can just highlight them and just leave one highlighted.
Yes, and I can see which one you're looking at and everything. Yeah. I'm keeping up with it at the same
time.
So,
there was a good note here from Jaquin. Says, it's beautiful to see that we can progress by any means necessary, even when we are not at our best. This is showing maturity. We are learning. And Chayboy72 says, grown up performance, Jaquin.
That's very well worded, actually. That's a very well worded point, actually. Grown up performance. I think that pretty much sums it up, if I'm honest with you, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's definitely a grown up performance, especially as well. My first comments when we went into extra time, Danny, weren't necessarily about the result, but it was more about how the Arsenal team were going to work out with regards to playing an extra half an hour. Because when was the last time we played extra time, Danny? It's been ages. Because normally when a game is up to that point, they just go straight into pens now, isn't it? They change the rules. Isn't that correct?
I couldn't tell you. I'd have no idea.
It's been such a long time since we played extra time. So it wasn't necessarily the result that I was worried about, but it was more about how the team would fare and come across when it comes to playing the extra time. And it was really starting to stress me out because there was a lot of pressure and there was a lot of moments where I was thinking this could go really either way, Porto's way or Arsenal's way. And I was screaming for no penalties. All the time. I was desperate for no penalties. Subs were made extra time, second half. Zinny for Kivior and Eddie for Trossard. And let's be honest, Eddie did more than Zinchenko, which I didn't think much.
I think the ball hit him in the back of the head twice.
Sure, there was a little layoff where he laid it off for Saka. There was a moment between him, Ødegaard, and Saka, and Saka was unfortunate. It was a nice little moment.
During the penalty shootout, all the players were arm in arm in arm in arm.
Okay.
Eddie stood in the middle of them with all of his arms down by his side.
Interesting. If anybody's got an image of that, that would be interested. I'd be interested to see that.
After the second penalty.
Okay. If anybody's got a picture of that, I'd be very interested to see that. I think Eddie knows. I think he's not coming. He can't be stupid. He knows that his time is up at Arsenal. I did find it interesting as well that Ramsdale, the moment, well, not interesting. Maybe it was a nice thing to see that Ramsdale embraced Raya at the end in the manner that he did. I think we all know that Ramsdale's probably going to be playing his last few games for the Arsenal. Well, probably the Brentford game was his last game for the Arsenal. But it was nice to see because I think Ramsdale understands as well that maybe he might be leaving in the summer. But, you know, we're in the quarterfinals of a Champions League. The chance and the opportunity of a Champions League winning medal is something that Ramsdale is very, very happy to think about. So that, I think that had a lot to do with the embrace that he had with Raya. But it was nice to see. It was nice to see. There's not really much else to say, really, in regards to the... There was a clean tackle from Jesus, but it ends up going the wrong way on the 114th minute. I thought that was absolutely perplexing from the referee. But then the referee was a bit of a token fool and a bit of an idiot. I don't think he was all there, if I'm honest with you, Danny, the referee. I don't think he was all there.
I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, I agree.
Poor man. A couple of things that I would like to bring up. A couple of pictures. Now, it has put them in the right order. It's not been doing that all night. Well, the first one is Arteta and our goalkeeping coach, whose name... I thought, it's all right, I don't need to copy it. His name is Onaki Kana. Kana. Bringing him onto the pitch, pointing to him. And this other stat is amazing, people at home on the bus and walking the dog. His record, can you take the comment off? Raya's previous penalty record, saved 42, not saved 32. Raya's record with Porto, saved 2, not saved 2. Considering there's normally 5 penalties in a shootout, that means he's been in 7, maybe 8 shootouts. And it's that is terrible. No wonder Ali McCoy's had no idea, but Ali McCoy's was right. Maybe Ramsdale would have been a better penalty saver after the Charity Shield, but to have only saved 4 out of 36 penalties. Does that include penalty shootouts, or do you reckon that includes all penalties? Because there is a difference between a penalty shootout and a mid-game penalty, isn't there?
I completely agree. It's probably nothing to do with a penalty shootout. I think it's probably going to be more to do with just general penalties that have been conceded by Brentford. I don't really care. Raya, absolutely stellar performance from the man. Unbelievable performance. So should we just go over the penalties really quickly then?
I don't remember them. So you do this one on your own.
Yeah, no worries.
I like the comments.
No worries. First man that steps up, Ødegaard, as I said to you already, a captain leading by example, the man leading from the front. Just unbelievable composure from the man. Buries it and absolutely electrifies the Emirates, wanting everybody to go absolutely mental. Porto score their first penalty. Havertz comes in to take the second one. And I was not nervous. I think someone made a comment saying I was a little bit anxious about Havertz taking the penalty, but then I remembered he was German. I think that pretty much sums it up. The man is clinical. Absolutely clinical. Raya saves the second penalty, Danny. At that moment, I was worried about taking penalties. I think everybody was. But I think
generally, if you can save, if the goalkeeper saves one penalty in 5, you're through, because quite often players miss penalties, put them over. So to have your penalty saved is quite rare in penalty shootouts. Just from memory, I know nothing. I've got no stats. I've got no proof, Your Honour. I'm just saying that in general 5 penalties, your goalie saves one, maybe they're going to sky one, you're probably through. And then we did. He saved another one, didn't he?
He did. Well, before we get there, Saka taking the third penalty. And for me, it was easily the most clinical of the four. Unbelievable technique. There's no question why Saka is our designated penalty taker. His penalty was absolutely clinical. It was ferociously taken by the man to make it 3-1 on the night. Porto score their third penalty, but Raya makes a hand to it, Danny. Mm. So, he saves the second one, gets a hand to the third. Rice takes the fourth, buries it. I don't know about you, Danny, but something deep inside me made me think, I think Raya's going to save this one.
No, I had no clue whatsoever. I'm just nervous at it. And I think, like Rudy says here, I feared a bit with Saka's pen. I always fear for his pen, not because what it means for Arsenal, but what it means for him and the backlash in the papers. Because every other fan of every other club will use that as a ball on a stick to beat him with. And so every penalty he scores, he's doing it to spite everybody who gave him shit for it before. And everyone he takes is one closer to not missing any. And it's wonderful to see. But as for him saving a second penalty, no idea. I don't even remember the penalty. I'm a nervous wreck.
It was Galina, it was the fourth penalty. The second save from Ray, it was Galina. Sorry, pronounce it correctly. As I said to you already before, he was the man who scored in the first leg against Arsenal in the final moments of the game to win. And what a goal that was. It was Galeno, exactly. And Galeno had scored 6 in 6 recently. So he was a man in striking form. He was definitely the man to step up. They even mentioned it. Ali McCoist mentioned it. The fact that he was the man to step up in that particular moment to save Porto's graces. But it didn't end up going that way, Danny. Raya saves it again. And I kind of sensed it was going to happen, but I was also, when it did happen, I didn't really say anything because I was completely gobsmacked. I wasn't expecting it a little. There was something inside of me that was going, he's going to save this. But overall, I still was absolutely...
Sorry, I'm typing. I've gone and found his saves, and I didn't want to take my finger off the letter B.
I love
or sniff
it.
Or Steve. Sorry about that.
Fine. That's fine. So, but even though I kind of had a sense that he was going to do it, I still was absolutely speechless when he saved it.
There they are. That's why I sneezed loudly and didn't mute myself, because I was busy getting these and I didn't want to lose them. Look at that. That is a man who knows what's cooking. He's going, I'll do this. I'm flying in the air and I'm still going to save a penalty. This one, I'm having to lay down and I'm going to save the penalty. No problem. Do your job, I'll do mine.
Every single penalty, Che Boy completely nailed it. Every single penalty he saved, both he saved and the one he nearly saved, left. All went the same way. They all went the same way. But if anything, that for me says that he was a very confident keeper. He knew what he wanted to do, because a lot of the time you go, oh, there's a lot, we're doing a lot of left-handed dives here. I might just chuck a right-handed dive. But he stuck with what he wanted to do. And he was confident in doing it, and it came off beautifully, absolutely beautifully for him.
R. Stan says, Raya's first penalty attempt was mad. Thought he was going down the shops to buy a paper. He just ran off out of his goal. Steph says, like Seaman v. Sampdoria. And Le Snow, that is French for the. I don't know what snow means in French.
Probably snow, because he's got a snowdrop as his thing.
Maybe. Is the French word for snow?
Probably.
Knowing them lot, probably not. This person says the saves were clinical and Raya was unlucky not to save three. Exactly. He's saying, got his little tippy fingers to them. Phil says one of the saves he missed hit the post and bounced off his back. Now that was lucky, wasn't it? That could have gone absolutely anywhere.
No, he didn't miss it, Phil. He got fingers to it. He got fingers to it. No, the first one. So he got fingers to it, and he fingered it.
Fingered Easy it tiger. Bit of blue foot.
He used his fingers to put it off onto the post, and then it bounced out. It could have obviously bounced off the post and hit him in the back, but he did get fingers on it. Fingers my ass. Watch the replays, Phil. He did get his fingers on it. He fingered it beautifully to the post. He fingered Phil it beautifully.
Because Phil's he's a filth merchant. He's probably got that as a ringtone now.
Everyone's just saying fingered what now and fingered who now. Yes, I apologize. It just felt natural for me to say the word finger.
Oh dear.
It's fine.
Schoolboy humor. You lot That's should it. Grow up.
Yes, grow up. Fingered the post. Yes, he fingered it.
Oh dear.
But yes, what a performance. I think we can all agree that we're all living on a really natural high right now. It's gonna be very difficult for all us. In this country anyway, in this particular time zone, it's 5 minutes to midnight. I think we're going to find it quite difficult to go to sleep. But yeah, Boy Tendio, he's got massive hands, hasn't he, Danny? He's got ginormous hands, right?
He's no Andre the Giant, but he's still doing well.
Sure. Incredible performance. If anybody has any questions, put them into the chat now so we can go through those. But thanks for all the fingered...
Well, you asked a little while ago, what did they want to get through on? FA said Barcelona.
Oh, yeah. So, guys, put your predictions of who you would want for the quarterfinals, guys.
BX said Barcelona 100%. Cha-Cha Boy said, let's do Barcelona over.
I really want Lance that as well, actually.
Said, gimme Barca, let's slap Spotify FC. Paigon Guna said PSV. Can we meet them in this round, or is it only the last 16 we couldn't meet them again?
Oh, I don't know.
No, nor do I. Patrick said, wouldn't mind Barcelona, overhyped team.
Agreed.
And I think that was it. The rest of them were just questions.
Okay, cool. We've got a few people saying in the normal chat who they predict, who they prefer, and then we'll just do questions. Guys, if you've got any questions, put a queue at the front and we'll answer those questions at the very end once we look at all of these.
Steph says Barca. Luke Howard has turned up. Oi, oi, on the train home from the game. Oh, I bet it was magnificent. Our Femi was there and he was putting videos and photos in of it. Wow, I bet the atmosphere was mad. Luke, did you see all Arteta and the players trying to hype the crowd up, because sometimes the crowd, we were saying earlier on in the show, the crowd got quite quiet and they need to be on it for the whole 2 hours, shouting and screaming. And I think that would have made a bit of a difference. Cal says Dortmund or PSV. Look, Snow says FC Bayern for revenge.
Stan, I see a lot of people wanting teams for revenge. I think all of us want Barcelona so we can just destroy them, because they're in there. They look horrific, Barcelona. I know they beat Napoli tonight and whatever it is, but they're the worst Barcelona team that I've seen in years.
And it's lovely to see. Demzik says he's not doing a prediction. He predicted 2-0 and jinxed it. Boy 10, I want us to get Inter or Real Madrid, to be honest. Give me answers to learn the hard lessons. Ooh. Paul P, love your pod. Watching from Lizard Island in Australia. Ah, hello. I'd love to be in Australia now, because at the moment it's 12 degrees outside and I've got two heaters on. And no underpants. Avon says Bayern, Dortmund, PSG, not City, not Barca, not Inter.
Interesting.
Question there from Charboy. I'll add that to the list. Trav says the crowd was definitely nervous, which in the turn made the team nervous. That's what I've been trying to say all night. Trav puts it perfectly. And Noza says I'd say PSV or Dortmund as well. Luke, who is at the game, says yes, I did think we were all just a bit nervous indeed. What's...
It's been a very long time, Danny, since we got through to the quarterfinals out of the round of the 16. And it's been a long time since, you know, 2016 was the last time we were in the Champions League itself. So it's been a very, very long journey to get to this particular moment. I think, Danny, if we played even a weaker team than Porto, I think we would have moments where we would be struggling. Because there's a lot of, you could feel the atmosphere, you could cut it with a knife. It was not only on the pitch you could feel it and sense it, but it was also amongst the fans and the coaching staff and everyone in between. So to get through it in the manner that we did now, Danny, you know, we've won a very hard-fought win against Brentford to put us top of the table. We've won a very hard-fought win against Porto, who are doing very well in the Portuguese league. But, you know, and it's now got us through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. These are two really difficult games that we've taken on our chin and we've ended up winning them regardless. I think that says more about the game than it does necessarily an easy win, because it was a really difficult game. We saw that. Yep. Porto were playing phenomenal. Pepe was like he was 21 again. It was crazy. It's like he lost 20 years. He was incredible. Wow. It just didn't stop moving. Unbelievable defender. But we still managed to get the result. So I'm absolutely elated, Danny. Elated.
Our very own Stan says, do a ray of people finger that like button. Lovely. Got some questions from there. Got another question there. Charboy's question is relevant now. How come 64 watching and only 21 likes? It's unacceptable. What else was on there? Someone else said something. Was it here? Formerly Noza said that they would like Man United or Liverpool. Oh, wait. Yep. Exactly.
Nice.
And the question is, Deke, do you want to get through to the semi-final and get an easy team to do that, or do you want to take on a big team and prove your worth?
I want to do both of those. So I want to take on an easy team and a team to test us, and that's Barcelona. I think Barcelona
two more injuries from the weekend.
Yep, I'd be absolutely buzzing for the prospect of playing against Barcelona. I'd love to see them in the quarterfinals and destroy them and get through to the semi.
It's Che, not Char. Oh dear, I think I got that one wrong. Phil's keeping an eye on them likes. They're up to 50 now. Well, that's a world record for us. Thank you very much. I fingered Deke. The like button, says Demsec. Lovely. Right, you can do the questions, because we've been going for nearly an hour.
We always say at the start of the pod, especially when it's late, we're like, I will only do half an hour, and it turns into an hour.
We'll quickly answer these
questions. What distance did Ødegaard run tonight? Very interesting question.
100 miles.
If anybody has that answer, put it into the chat.
Yeah.
Boy 10 Dio question. Are we done scoring 3+ goals games for the season? Teams have now have the film from Brentford and both legs of Porto. Danny?
We're looking at the games that we've got coming up. We won't get three against City, but then after that we've got Luton. Can get three or four or five there. Brighton are at home, so that'll be tough. Villa, well, Villa just got smashed by Spurs, so that could be anything. They're away. Yeah. Wolves, maybe not. Spurs, easy. Bournemouth, easy. Man United, easy. Everton, easy. And then that's it. So I reckon the three or four more big goal hauls.
I don't think we're done scoring big goals. A plethora of goals in a game. I don't think we're done seeing that. I think we're going to see more of that towards the end of the season. There was going to be moments where we're going to have a bit of a slump, and we've had a little bit of a slump, but still won the games. So I'll go with it with that. That's absolutely fine. I've got no stress there. And I just wanted to put this up on here because Love Johansson put, Deke, let's save you a Google search. EPO, which is... Danny, do you want to try and pronounce that word?
Erythropoietin? It's some combination of those words. Erythropoietin, without the R.
Increases red blood cell count in the blood, basically meaning increased cardiovascular conditioning. I didn't know about this, Danny.
For years.
I've not known about this.
Yeah, they were saying that's why Spurs didn't get injured for ages. And then Liverpool, this is what Lance Armstrong took when he went to the moon.
Is this legal?
No, it's unprovable. It's got a very very small half-life, very short half-life. So it disappears into it. So it just makes you... There's a Lance Armstrong. One of the best Joe Rogans ever is the Lance Armstrong episode. He just gives all the details. He lets it all go. And then he had another really good Rogan. I don't really like Joe Rogan. Don't think he's funny. I don't think he's interesting. I just like the guests that he has. And he had a bloke, a sports scientist, who was working for the Russians when they got banned from the Olympics, explaining how all that happened as well. So if anybody wants to know those episodes, let me know. Go on the_GFB. Don't follow me. It's going to be no point. You ain't going to get any interest out of it. And then I'll tell you what episodes they were, but they are both really good.
Love it. But I didn't know about this, so I'm going to have to look into this now. It's going to be my new favorite thing. Someone should tell Raya that he could sell some Skrilla by selling sex toys modeled after his fingers. There's going to be a lot of finger things now, isn't it?
Because it's never going to end.
Brilliant. Another question here from Boy10DO. Question, has Odegaard delivered on his 2014 hype when he signed for Real Madrid at the age of, what was it, 16? And he was 22. On 80 grand a week.
It was in nappies. Not yes. yet. He needs to win the Premier League with Arsenal, and he needs to be... The quarterfinal, semi-final of the Champions League with Arsenal two or three seasons in a row. He's shown it in glimpses during games, sometimes like tonight, brilliant for the whole game. Some of the spin rounds in the little tricks and trim that he tried to do in around the penalty area, they're sublime. He does it all the time, but he needs the players around him to be able to do it. Remember Ozil, one of the greatest players to play football in this modern era, couldn't keep doing it on his own because he was surrounded by shit. Odegaard is surrounded by players that are on the verge of being world-class, like Saka, players like, the rest of the team, not going to name them, you know who they are, two or three years' time, and he is leading them into the promised land with his diamond flip-flops, and it'll be lovely to see.
I like that. I like that. I'll go with that as well, Danny. I'll be boring and go with that. Another question here from Jay Boy. We've got here, do we have to win something this year, Danny? I
don't mind if we don't.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Because it's Champions League and Premier League. Yeah. We're fighting for the two biggest honours. If we were still in the FA Cup or the League Cup or something like that, well, the League Cup's ended, but then, you know, that would be frustrating. Technically, Danny, we've won something this year. We won the champion, the Community Shield.
Yeah.
I know
more than Spurs have ever won.
This is my point. I rate the Community Shield. I think it's a good little tester at the start of the season. We played against Man City at the start in that game and we beat them. So, you know, it is what it is. So technically we've already won something this year, but I would not be frustrated if we didn't win something this year. But I still want to see the momentum that we've got right now, though, Danny. I think that's important to say. As long as we've still got the momentum that we've got right now going through to the end of the season, and holding our heads up high, then that's fine. But if we come for Boyle though, Danny, and we don't capitalize on these moments, the Brentford game and this Porto game, we don't capitalize on these moments to bring it to the empty had on the 31st at the end of this month, then I'll be frustrated. But I'm not going to be disappointed if we don't win something this year. And that's controversial, maybe, Danny, aren't we? We're pretty controversial about that, aren't we?
Yeah, well, possibly.
Question here from Le Snow. Do you want a home or away fixture in the next round and why? Danny?
Away first, always away first, and you know yes. what you've got to do in the second leg, especially now there's no away goals to worry about. It's you just know you got to, like tonight, we knew 1-0, take it to penalties. We had to do one thing, and we did it, score a goal. That's all we had to do.
Yep.
And the second thing was don't concede a goal, and the third thing, win penalty shootout. And we tick, tickety tick, and we saw on, where is it? There's Emery. Lost his head. We won the double toss.
This we did win the double toss, didn't we? You're completely right. There's that referee who didn't know what he was doing.
That referee was actually Trossard's dad.
Oh.
French-Belgian. Belgian-French. French-Belgian. Basically the same thing. Belgium isn't even a real country. It's just been invented by the Illuminati to stockpile cheese. So oh there, you can look, looks, there you go. There, look, he's going, all right, son. Similar. Yeah, all right, son, you had a great first half goal. Cheers, Dad. In it. So there you go.
They look scarily similar. That's it terrifying. Oh, that's
I'll calm you down with a picture of an Arsenal pigeon that I made.
There we go. That's the patron bird of London, that is.
That's it.
Phil Macca, who's up for a cheeky finger, like a chocolate finger maybe. Super Cali. Do you think the break will be good or bad for us? Good.
Oh, definitely good, because they have put 110%, you can't give more than 100%, but they give 110% of what they had tonight. In fact, Ødegaard gave 111%, and Zinchenko gave 42%, and Eddie gave 4%. Baby. Yeah, so yeah, we're going to need it. We're moaning that we've got no games, but you'll be getting some shows, and there'll be stuff to do. We'll keep, but just remember what happened with the Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Qatar, I don't know which one it was, when they buggered off there to go and build sandcastles and get tans and have pictures of girls with Ben White touching him. So it's going to be.
They had a fun time, guys. They had a fun time, and we've
said, take me.
And we've won every single game. No, we wouldn't. We didn't win the Porto.
We haven't lost.
We did the first leg. We didn't win the first leg of the Porto game.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count. Whatever.
That wasn't in this country.
Very true. We've won every game in this country. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Another question from Super Cali then. Do you think any of our bench players will be integral when it comes to the run out?
Well, tonight, the players on the bench, I'll read about. You tell me if they're any good. We have got Nketiah.
No.
Zinchenko?
No.
And then Jesus?
Maybe.
Elneny?
No.
Carl Hein?
No.
Partey?
Maybe.
Tomiyasu?
Yes. Maybe.
A Cedric?
No.
Patrick Vieira?
No.
Ramsdale? RIP. No. His career.
Yep.
Smith Rowe? Don't cry. Hold back the tears.
No.
And Reece Nelson?
No.
There you go. There is a consistency there of no.
No.
Not really.
I think Partey and Jesus are the only ones that could potentially give us something and offer us something. You know, Timber's coming back. When Timber comes back, I think we'll see less and less of Zinchenko until the end of the season. There'll probably be questions asked about whether we'll be letting him go. The fact that Tomiyasu, even though he's injury prone, he signed in a brand new contract for Arsenal, and that pretty much tells you how highly rated Arsenal think of him. So you know, questions will be asked about Zinchenko.
Boy 10 sums it up. Trash, 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 trash. Decent. Trash, trash, decent. Trash, trash, trash. That's our bench.
Are the two decents my ones, or which ones are your two decents?
Partey and Tomiyasu. No, Jesus and Tomiyasu, probably.
Oh, I said, oh no, you're right. I said Tomiyasu, didn't I? I said Tomiyasu, Partey and Jesus.
I'm surprised
were the three
you didn't
ones that
put
I said.
Trash, 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 nonce. Trash, trash, decent. Trash, trash, decent.
Yeah, I agree.
Then there's no, you can't take us to court for that because we haven't said which one was the possible N-word. Nonce, I can't say N-word. Jesus fucking Christ. No, N-O-N-C-E word. There you go. Brilliant. I've covered all bases there.
Nice.
Yes. Hopes for Timber, Jesus and Tommy. Yeah, I agree with you there, Avon. I'm happy with all three of those.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. One last question then from Demsec. Question, do we need a new striker first or midfielder play? The amount of times we get asked whether we think we'll need a striker or anything like that. What do you think, Danny? Would you sign a striker or would you sign a midfielder first?
Well, you've seen at the weekend, we didn't need a striker because Havertz was absolutely immense. You've seen tonight that we do need a striker because Havertz very struggled really to do much coming up against FIFA Player of the Year and of Pepe, who's at 72 years old, and he struggled to do anything against him. It's dirty. It's dirty fighting. Pepe remembers the old black and white days where you got away with dirty fighting, and today the referee let it. Always need a striker. You could see Eddie couldn't give two shits. He wasn't even allowed. He'd have sent him one. Don't touch the ball, Eddie. Leave it alone. Just go out there and run around. Look
so
busy.
Danny, about the Eddie thing, I think you remember, you're the one who mentioned the fact that he didn't interlock arms with players when it comes to the penalties. So, guys, if you can find that picture of Eddie not being with the other Arsenal players when it was with the penalties, please post something in the chat or something like that, or tag us on Twitter or something.
No one will
find it. I'm really interested to see that image.
I will bring it up on the podcast on Thursday, because after this show, I'm going to download the game and someone reminds me and I will play it on the podcast on Thursday.
Beautiful. I like that. Right, what else we got here?
Oh, here we go. BX, I think Fabio has something special. It will show soon. BX has been on the edibles, I think. If you could send some my way.
Fabio Vieira, I want to be proven wrong with him, but
we're not going
to
be.
We'll have to wait and see.
Almost
in regards to Demsec's question, though, Danny, would I want a new striker or a midfield first? Striker. I want a striker first.
Definitely.
I want a striker first. Regardless of how good Havertz has been playing recently, we need another option off the bench. The fact that we have to rely on Gabriel Jesus, who, you know, I like him as a player, but he's not the guy that's going to be scoring goals week in, week out. I would love a striker that comes in and does something different to the other strikers, an out-and-out striker, not a fluid striker. Havertz can play in the midfield, he can play out on the wings, he can play up front, and Jesus can play on the wings and up front. I want a striker, Danny, who plays up front.
That's a novel idea. I don't think it's going to work with someone who is related to Pep, who doesn't like to do that.
Sure.
Until he got the
I want them to sign a striker of what they want, because I've heard rumours Rafael Leao of AC Milan. I've heard rumours of that. So we'll have to wait and see. I've heard Tony now is basically a no-go. They especially after the Brentford game, they really dislike his attitude. He's got the wrong attitude. They don't want that sort of personality coming to the Emirates. They took a long time of getting rid of personalities like that out of the Emirates. And Tony's going to be that kind of guy. So I'm not a fan. Not a fan. I know we've got Teabag. Brilliant. There he is. Fabio Vieira, the man, the myth, the legend. I'm all for him turning up and becoming the player that he's meant to be. But, you know, we can't have any stragglers. Can't have any stragglers.
Oh, well, there you go. We've done an hour and 12 minutes. Are we allowed to go now? Do we have everyone's permission? Richard Morris has turned up. Yeah, I take you at the game, Richard. Yeah, we've kind of done it all now. It was it's been emotional.
Yes.
In the words of Vinnie Jones. Let's have this picture up there in the top right corner. An old-fashioned European display. Let's have the old-fashioned Arsenal badge. Look at that. That is a badge of beauty. That's the badge I've got facing, tattooed on my leg.
That's the cannon facing the other way, the original way.
It is, and it is right. Richard says, please don't go. I've just got home.
No, he's got hone. He's got hone. He's honing his skills. That's what
he's only just got back to the mansion. And he's busy whipping the butlers. He wants a cheese and tomato sandwich. I don't know why I said cheese and tomato. I hate cheese. I hate tomato. What's it? Cheese on toast with Marmite. Oh, you dirty boy.
Oh, Christ almighty.
Save
guys.
Me. It's, I'm starting to lose it.
It's quarter past midnight, guys. We're going to go to bed now. We appreciate every single one of you for jumping into this stream and just sort of reveling in this wonderful moment that was given to us on a penalty shootout. The position that none of us wanted to be in. We wanted to win in full time, but we won it in a penalty shootout. We've got this weekend off, guys. We've got the weekend following off. and we're not playing now until the 31st of March. And that's going to be the Empty Head against City, who we will defeat. It's a half full kickoff, and we will defeat them because that's what Arsenal do.
I'm not nodding in agreement. I do this when I need a wee. Save me.
Okay. Right. Let's end it here then, Danny. Thanks to everyone for jumping into the channel. You've got any final words, Danny?
Dodecahedron.
Nice. Solid word. Solid word. I like it. It's a good word. It's a good word. Yeah, guys, I've got much more to say here. I just think it's great.
8:30.
There we go. That's the next pod, guys. 8:30 on the Thursday. We're going to be doing a Talking Bollocks at some point as well. During the break in between the postponed Chelsea game from this weekend and up to the City game. So we'll let you know on socials about that. So make sure you jump in and join us there. We'll be talking everything and anything. Who knows? The world is our oyster, Danny. That's how we'll look at it is. World is our oyster. Indeed. If you did like this podcast, if you are listening to this on a post or anything like that, maybe put something in the comment section, you know? Constructive criticism. Ask, am I gobby? Am I a gobby person? Like the video, guys. Share it, subscribe, and everything in between. Really, really appreciate you. Absolutely fantastic performance from the Arsenal in the end. Stellar performance from Saka with a penalty, and Raya coming up absolutely clutch with his very long fingers, fingering it to the post, Danny. Giving it a cheeky little finger.
Dirty boy.
That's how we'll end it.
Out it goes to Lee Dixon. Long ball from Lee Dixon. Smith will hold it up. Plays it square to Thomas. And Thomas goes inside Nicol. And Thomas is there. And Thomas has scored for Arsenal. In injury time, Michael Thomas has scored for Arsenal. A ball played through the gap. Thomas was there. He held off two challenges. Kept his head. By my watch, we are a minute and a half into injury time, and Michael Thomas may have won the championship for Arsenal.